El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I'd come on this show and defend those opinions. But now I don't really do any of that shit. I just do this show. Joining me today, he's been on a bunch of episodes lately purely by coincidence, but also because we love him just so much. He is the lead singer of the fantastic rock band Countless Thousands. Ladies and gentlemen, Danger Van Gorder. Also joining me, he's been on the podcast a bunch of times before. We're always happy to have him here. He's one of our favorite guests. He's also one of our favorite comics working in all of Los Angeles or in all of the country. Ladies and gentlemen, Dirt Bike Dad, Dave Waite. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion.
Hi.
How's it going? I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Dave Waite's here.
Hey, Adam.
How's it going, man?
That's good.
Thanks for doing the podcast.
Well, I love driving in rush hour traffic in L.A. to be on a podcast. It's one of my favorite things. That's why I moved to the city.
There's really no good time for people to drive here. I mean, we could do this at like 9 o'clock at night, but then I'm working at 9 o'clock at night.
Well, like, yeah. I would say for like if you did it like noon, I could probably get here in like 20 minutes. Or if you did it at 9, yeah.
The thing about noon, though, is then parking is really hard to find down here, or you have to pay. So it's like a
I asked the dude once, like, hey, is there any way around here that's free to park? I don't mind walking. And he actually just laughed at me.
But the thing is, there is on Second Street a little ways up.
And then I don't know if he was just trying to protect his income or something, but I was real miffed.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So how's everyone doing? Hmm? Dave, what have you been up to? It's been not too long since you've been on the podcast, right?
It's been probably a couple months, I would say.
Yeah.
I think maybe I came on before I went on tour in the summer.
It was, yeah, I think it was July.
July.
Was that pre or post winter? Winter pups. The dog. This dog.
Oh, the dog was definitely not here then.
Yeah, okay. The dog just got here a couple months ago. Danger,
hi.
How have you been?
I'm just honestly waiting for you to cut me off.
Why? You had a big trip.
You know what? I did have a really good trip. I had a lot of fun. We went to Paris.
Yeah,
my wife and I.
You know, the hardest part of the show for me is the first few minutes, because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life, when all I really want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week. I like how the dog almost fucked that up.
She almost unplugged everything.
She came to your defense and tried to pull every fucking thing off the table.
She's like,
but she didn't do it, and that's why we call the segment This Week in Me. It's about to get intense.
I feel like I could have got a few more seconds in. I kind of wasted it on Jeff.
If you still want to talk about yourself and what you've been doing.
Yeah, it's just a bit. You can keep talking if you want.
He just really likes cutting someone off, and that someone's usually me.
Well, I don't know if we're going to have a narcissism off here. Like, who wants to talk more about themselves?
I'm interested in Dave Waite.
I mean, I'm interested in Adam.
Yeah.
Wow.
How you doing,
but
Adam?
You seem to looks have
like
lost
you're
out.
The, yeah, you're the big loser here today.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Seems like Danger.
I'm mad.
Because, I'm team here in Dave Waite also.
Yeah. No, that's the winning team for sure.
Where'd you get that cup, bro?
Starbucks.
That's
Starbucks,
crazy.
Baby. Iridescent.
Is that
fucking glows if you walk outside with it?
Rainbow cappuccino or whatever the hell.
Attracts all the attention you want in downtown Los Angeles during the morning.
You leave the house holding that thing?
Sure, I do. Ugh. I'm securing my manhood. Why the fuck wouldn't I? My dog's got a pink leash. It's great.
That's a cup I'd see in the Starbucks and be like, "What asshole buys that?" That's what I would
that
think.
Asshole.
This
that
guy.
Asshole right there. That asshole drinking out of that exact
guy.
Cup.
So this is. If you're watching this live, it's not, but this is our first episode of 2018.
Welcome to the last year.
Welcome to the future if you're watching this live.
Ooh.
Otherwise, just welcome to 2018, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey. This is going out in 2018?
Yeah. It's going out first week of January.
Oh, buddy.
Why? Yeah.
Well, some of the plugs that I'd worked on aren't going to be good.
Well, we do have some viewers at home right now if you want to get them out of the way or something.
We'll tweak them out. Yeah, this is our first.
I didn't know I should bring my 2018 plugs. I'm still here in the present.
Dude, you have 2018 plugs already? That's so impressive.
I mean, by the time this comes out, there could be like a new president or something.
Oh,
we could have a whole new world order.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That, I think I'm on board with that idea.
Yeah.
The new world order.
That's kind of the point of this episode. We're talking about things to look forward to in 2018.
Yep.
Because we closed out the year talking about terrible news you didn't hear enough of in 2017. Because as if the year wasn't bad enough.
Yeah.
We did two episodes like that. We did an episode of Pretty Scary also that was just about all the grisly, horrific crimes that didn't get any attention because there was too much other shit happening
because
in the
Trump
world.
Because Trump was tweeting?
Yeah, pretty
that's
much.
Pretty depressing.
Yeah, and that's how we ended out this podcast also in 2017.
You know, I think...
But now, things to look forward to.
Little
happy
optimism.
Thoughts.
Little hope.
Happy, happy yeah. thoughts.
Yes,
thoughts.
We can. Let's, let's hope it up.
So what should we talk about first? Is anyone else as excited about the Winter Olympics as I am?
This just came out today in 2017, but a few weeks ago in 2018. I mean, depending on if you're watching or listening.
I think we've set up the timeline.
Real confusing.
Well.
We're lost in the weeds
I think
here.
People get it.
It's a hedge maze, guys. But the Russian Federation will not be allowed in the 2018 Olympics. Because of their doping scandal.
Yeah, right.
I saw that. They can compete, but they can only compete as an Olympian from Russia. And then if they win, they'll be like the Olympic flag.
Right. And I don't know what. Do they just get to pick any like radio hit for the song that plays while they're on the podium? Want a Beyonce song,
days
please?
Go by, still I think about you.
But I fucking love the Winter Olympics. I think they are the far superior Olympics.
Now, that's an interesting stance to take. I mean, they've definitely got more style than the Summer Olympics.
I mean, there are much more white Olympics. Is that why you like them?
I mean, obviously that's part of it. No, I feel like the sports or the skills on display are more difficult and fun to watch.
Yeah.
In the Winter Olympics, like low key, way more chance that someone's gonna die during the when's the last time you remember someone dying during the Summer Olympics?
I don't know,
it happens like every
definitely died on that bobsled or the
yeah,
luge.
Every
or whatever
time
the hell.
Some fucking
skeleton
some dude from Georgia gets on the luge for the first
right.
time
the
Georgia
wrong
the country
Georgia. Yeah
Georgia the country
yep.
and flies off that luge track you get to see those highlights.
I mean, yeah, but somebody from the state of Georgia would never wear something that skin tight, you know.
That's true.
That's for northerners.
It would explode. And my favorite Olympic sport hands down is women's figure skating.
Pervert.
As someone that's very
pervert.
I'm excited to see I, Tonya this week.
I'm excited to see that movie, yeah, but I don't need the drama. I just like the...
You just like the costumes?
I like the drama of the competition. No, it's the most tense Olympic sport to watch because everything they've worked on for their entire life has culminated in this moment. And it could come down to something as simple as their ankle buckles a little bit at the end of this spectacular move that none of us would ever be able to do in a million lifetimes. And they just kind of stumble a little and it's like, pa, you fucked up, lady.
Right. I mean, we need the commentary people on there for them to be like, because I wouldn't know any better. But then you hear these people from England say, oh, no. Oh, that would surely cost her a point.
I would argue it's one of the sports that requires the least amount of commentary. Because even if you don't know what move they're doing, you know if they fucked it up at the end.
Word.
That's debatable. Because there's definitely been... Look, if somebody takes a genuine spill and then like opens
genuine?
Their head... And,
why did you say it then, like the 90s R&B singer?
I don't know, because he's dope and he doesn't get enough respect in the modern age.
The pony is my favorite ice skating.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah, that's pretty good. Can we have a crossover between Channing Tatum's whole career and the Winter Olympics?
Here you go.
All right, close enough.
Does he have like a bone for Channing Tatum? Is that like something I don't know?
Channing Tatum is a wonderful, beautiful human being.
Oh, yeah, I guess
very
so.
Charming.
He does have a bone.
Yeah,
for
he's
does.
He's a thoroughly decent man. He's in my top five.
I didn't see that on the list of talking
points.
Not
on the list. Yeah, it's not on the. It's yeah, not
why
the
not?
Notes.
You seem really into it. I mean, no. Channing Tatum's great. I like him as an actor.
Yeah, no, he's great. And as a person, as just a human, he's wonderful.
Wow.
Okay. I'm sure there's going to be some Channing Tatum, whatever. God damn it.
Hey, Channing, sir, you pronounce that G.
I'm sure there's going to be some of his movies coming out in the old 2018. That's something to look forward to for you and your boner.
Totally. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So no one else on board with the... And also there's a cool, the Nigerian women's, I want to say bobsled
Yeah,
team.
I think it's bobsled.
What?
Yeah.
Like Cool Runnings?
Like Cool Runnings.
So this is like a real life Cool Runnings?
Cool Runnings.
Well, Cool Runnings was real life.
Yeah, that
okay.
was.
I mean, I watched that in the hospital when my mom got sick on Easter in 1992. So
that
I thought
doesn't
it was
make
all
the
make-believe.
Movie not true.
I don't know. I was just playing with my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and waiting for the doctors to send us home.
I remember the Olympics were like a big... My dad used to love the Olympics. Now he doesn't really care about any sports. But the first time we got like he got like a color TV. It was like we got to get a color TV for the Winter Olympics. And then
there it is.
Those costumes. They got
and
there.
Then I remember the Jamaican bobsled team when they flipped over. My dad would just yelling, "They're all dead! They're all dead! They're dead!" I was like 10. I was like mortified. I was like, maybe they are all dead. Jeez.
I'm going to do that next time I watch Cool Runnings.
Yeah, just
I don't
stop,
remember, did
stop
they flip
the movie?
Over in that movie?
I mean, they crossed the finish line holding the bobsled like champions, like the people's champions.
So they probably do flip over, yeah.
Yeah, probably, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that movie's a little bit embellished.
Yeah, I'm sure there's parts of it that did not actually take place. Like
so
most
it's not
it.
A word-for-word recreation of the actual events.
I think that's an underrated John Candy vehicle.
John Candy's in that movie.
Yeah,
yeah, he's their coach.
Easy to forget that.
I think we need to watch Cool Runnings as a family.
I watched it not too long ago.
Oh, did it hold up?
I don't remember what we were doing a list cast, and I don't remember what the fuck I had Cool Runnings on the list for. But
best sports movies?
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, it might have been best sports movie. Yeah, I think it was, and it didn't do well. People didn't give a shit about Cool Runnings because no one cares about the Winter Olympics but me.
Yeah, but you know what? I look forward to your enthusiasm for the Winter Olympics.
I had at one point, I didn't realize it, but I was like auditioning for a columnist spot at Cracked. This was way, way, way back.
Yeah,
obviously.
Plenty of things have changed since then.
And I was up against Ian Forty, I think, and we both had to write columns. And I wrote mine about how great the Winter Olympics are, and I didn't get the audition.
Sorry.
But... It balanced itself out over
eventually.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
The situation righted itself.
Right.
It's all right. Fine. Winter Olympics. Just me.
Yeah. Winter Olympics should be cool.
It should be tight.
Get it? Hang on. Got it. Should be cool.
We got it. Because winter.
Dude, hit one of those things.
Yeah. that one was good.
That is fair. That's good.
That's what that was. Reserve?
Not
reserve.
A comedian, you guys. I am
no,
not a comedian.
Well, what is there anything on the list either of you want to talk about?
We go back. I mean, I did like. Remember, you're the same age as me, or relatively.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like Katharina Witt or Witt.
Yeah,
she was like a mega babe. She was, and she was like East German. And there was East German, West German. So
yeah,
she
had differentiated.
Like, she was like this.
She was the bad German.
She was like, ooh. You seemed like a communist spy or something like that. But she was like a babe. You were like, she could totally honeypot you, you know, and give up the West secrets, you know.
Because you,
I would give up the West secrets to Katharina Witt.
Yes, I would have.
Yeah.
She was a babe.
What secrets would you have to give up to Katharina Witt?
Fucking triple Lutzes, double sow cows, all that shit. How
and
to
Immelman?
Do all those things. All the fucking skating
barrel
moves
roll.
The aliens taught us. I fucking love. I can't. I will. If I watch nothing else Olympics related, I will watch women's figure skating. It's the best. It is the best.
It is the confluence between heaven and earth, great grace and great athleticism,
and see,
art and sport.
That's the thing. I would argue it's definitely a sport where women are significantly better at it than men.
Yes.
They definitely look better doing it. Men just are not fucking graceful enough for figure skating.
Nah. And if you are, Nah, dude, you shouldn't be.
Even if you are, you're not. Yeah, you're just really confident.
All right. No, that's a really good point. I'm with you on that. Because, that's the same reason I love roller derby so much. Like, right. Women's roller derby is so much fun to watch.
And women fucking dominate it.
Yeah.
Same it's with
so much
skating.
More interesting. Yeah.
We get it. Women are the best.
Women are better than men in all ways.
Things to look forward to in 2018, the end of men. We're officially going to be shipped off.
Uh-huh. Categorized, barcoded.
We'll be on a colony.
They're going to put all our sperm in a cooler.
there's a Rick and Morty episode about all this. We'll get prepared.
Then it's going to happen. What else? What about the Purge? I know that's a weird thing to be looking forward to.
The movie?
The actual events?
Is everyone here up like all caught up on the Purge franchise?
I have not seen I've
seen all the Purges. I love the Purges.
It's my favorite movie franchise. It's so fucking good. One of those where the movies just keep getting better.
You don't say.
Yeah, they do. Because the first one was like the premise was tight, but it was really like more of a home invasion movie.
Yeah, they promised you all this chaos and then set the movie inside one dude's house, and it was like, this is weird.
Oh. It was like all the budget is going to Ethan Hawke.
Right. It should have been the second movie, but I still love those movies. But the second movie, you finally get to see the purging, and then the third one, there's politics involved, and now the fourth one is called The Purge Island, and it's a prequel, so we get to see all of the events that led up to the first purge,
the institution of
the first
purge.
See, now I'm a little bit, because that means that guy Frank Grillo might not be in it, and that guy is tight.
That guy is fucking amazing. Yeah, once they added him, was he's not in the first movie?
He's not
right?
in the first one.
Yeah. But he's in the second and third.
And then he's got that new movie on Netflix called The Wheel Man. Have you watched that?
No.
It's just like a heist movie, but he's in a car the whole time, and he's like a wheel man driving through the fucking Boston and shit. And
oh, yeah?
Dealing with assholes on the phone, and people are chasing him.
I will check that out.
It's mostly just him, but he's so like intense. You're like, this guy's tight.
Yeah. He is fucking great.
Cool.
He's great in that movie. Why are you being this way? You don't like The Purge?
I just haven't seen it.
This is a guy knows it ain't. If there's the purge comes, he ain't making it. It's finally
here. They don't have a.
It's unlikely. What's going on here?
There's no trailer for the purge, but here is a video that shows us the stunning election night in under 2 minutes. I feel like this is as good of a prequel to what.
Oh, buddy, I can't.
The events that led to the purge as anything else.
Don't make me watch it again. I feel the same way about like. 9/11 footage.
Yeah. This is what killed Sharon Jones. Soul singer Sharon Jones died on inauguration or died on election night.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Well, that was a fun little gag where we didn't have a trailer for the prequel to The Purge, so I just showed the 2016 election results.
That just really bummed me out.
Yeah, this is real.
Yeah,
this isn't.
And then you played that. They made Howard Dean leave because he yelled.
Because he yelled one time.
And then
Trump rapes 13 people, and America's like, meh.
Allegedly.
Yeah, sorry. Just under 50% of America and voters said, meh.
I thought you were going to go, sorry, 13 women.
No.
What?
Was it 13?
Are there some dudes in the mix?
I don't know. Who knows?
Wouldn't surprise
me. He's horrible.
Fucking power move there.
Yeah.
That's really Trump.
Yeah. I mean,
but hey, there's other things happening in 2018 that we got to look forward to.
Right.
Take it away, Dinger.
Dinger?
Oh, Dinger.
I called you Dinger.
Dinger because of the next thing we're talking about.
you want to launch into that one real quick?
Should we talk about ginger emojis?
Okay.
I don't know. These haven't existed up until now. If you're a redhead, you don't have emojis that represent you as a person.
That's a shame.
Until 2018, they're coming finally.
Cool.
Ginger emojis.
There's so few ginger people. And also, who gives it? I mean, if you're using emojis, which I do sometimes, and I won't disagree with this, you're a dipshit.
Yeah.
And I'm a dipshit.
Would you green light a movie about the emojis?
No, I mean, it's probably the same person was like, Angry Birds, this is tight, let's make it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, and it's a thing where... like idiot parents think, oh, I use emojis and then I'll take my kid because it's a fucking cartoon and we'll all enjoy it.
Mm.
And they probably do all enjoy it because a lot of people are stupid.
But, oh, you know, God, I forgot about how dumb people are.
I mean, you know, you can make fun of the Emoji Movie, but who would have realized? Who would have thought the Lego Movie would have been so amazing?
Yeah,
the idea that hey, Legos—it's a movie. I'd be like, sure. Now Legos do lend themselves more because they look like
constructive
people,
right?
Also people,
yeah. But so do emojis. Some of them have red hair. I mean, fucking freaks. But
we're fine.
It would be like if there was a Miss Pac-Man movie or something like that, because yeah. It's just kind of a. But they make other cartoon characters work. Yeah. Oh man. I realized like halfway through it, I didn't really give a fuck what I was talking about. And then I was like, I'm not going to get to a cohesive point and whatever.
I wonder if there's anyone in the comments excited about ginger emojis.
Is anybody? Look,
No.
I do have a soft spot in my heart for the redheaded race. I think they're a beautiful people. And I'm glad that they're getting some representation. Okay, so ginger emojis. Looking forward. Some people are looking forward to it.
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't seem like. I feel like more people in the comments are looking forward to the actual purge.
I would purge the fuck out of people. Big Meek.
Big Meek.
We know Big Meek is our resident Trump supporter. Uh-huh. He doesn't need to tell us that he would participate in the purge.
Right.
We know what side of the purge you're on, pal. Uh-huh. All right, Dinger.
That really hurts. I am looking forward to Saga.
What is Saga? I don't know what this is.
Saga is a comic book by Brian K. Vaughan and drawn by Fiona Staples. It is amazing. It's basically Romeo and Juliet in space. Romeo and Juliet meets like Star Wars. And they wrote it to be set up so that it could basically only be a comic book, because there's a lot of comic books out there being turned into movies or whatnot. Like even some of Brian K. Vaughan's other stuff, like Runaways, just came out on Hulu. I have no idea if it's good or not. I'm very excited to check it out because I'm currently reading Runaways for the first time. But Saga is highly sexual, but it's mostly about parenting. It's, you know, the Romeo and Juliet, they have a love child, and both the forces of the wings and the horns are trying to kill all of them because they don't want either army to discover that people can let these two races coexist and even have a family. You know, like the side of peace is scarier than either side in the war. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, deep comic. It's so haunting and funny and human. It's so good. It is the finest example currently being created. And they have a really, really slow pace with the release, which is, you know, good for them because they can take their time and make something a lot more interesting and special. So we're already almost at the point where it's as long as any of his other Brian K. Vaughan's other stuff. We got to be getting close to where maybe we're going to see a glimpse of the penultimate chapter. Maybe they'll end it next year. I don't know. But it's so good, you guys. And you guys had a list cast about the greatest comics of all time, and you did not include Saga in the conversation. And
I thought we did great best graphic novels.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Are you a comic book guy, Adam?
No,
he's not.
I neither. Yes. You know, if he was describing a movie, I might have, like, listened more. But yeah. As soon as he said the word comic book, my brain was like, we're just going to go in airplane mode. I like reading books.
Yeah.
I'll go see a comic book movie.
Okay.
Right.
I don't want to look at a bunch of pictures and work. I feel like they should, each thing should stay in its lane. The picture thing should stay there and the words here, and they should not meet.
I've never gotten behind graphic novels, but there was one on ListCast yesterday that John Fahey described, and it was one about Superman, but he was a communist Superman who was working on behalf of Russia. And I was like, well, I want to see that movie, but I still don't really want to read the book. But that's a Superman movie I would definitely check out.
Cool.
But I don't know. I don't have a lot of time. I can't introduce new forms of literature to my life. That's not the kind of free time I'm working with.
That's a real shame.
Well, you run this network then, pal.
No, I'm just sorry.
Pal.
Oh.
Pow-pow.
Yeah.
Zap.
I'm looking forward to more Saga. in 2018.
How many issues are there?
There are, I think, 7 or 8 trades right now.
What's that mean?
Like the book that you buy that's not like the flimsier single issue, the larger book. Yeah.
Sure.
I think that's what... Honestly, I don't really know as much about comic books as some of your other... Some of the other people who enjoy these things that we do.
If you come in my house talking about comic books, you got to be ready to talk about them.
Yeah. And look, I'll admit to you, I'm an expert in nothing, ever. It's a very long-run series, and it's really, really good.
Now, let me ask you, do you go to the store and buy these fuckers, or do you get them mailed to you?
I go to a store. I go to Legacy Comics in Glendale, California.
An actual comic store.
An actual comic book store. And I say, do you have the new Saga? And if there's a new Saga out... Oftentimes they have it, and I purchase it.
They don't recognize you? Like, danger, we got your package.
Nope.
Here comes Saga.
I'm not that well known yet, but...
Saga Van Gorder.
They're very nice. And
Danger Van Saga.
Now, what's one of these run you a pop? That's what people want to know. We want to know. Let's put the...
Is that really what we're...
Can we work it into the budget in 2K18?
I think we can work it in. If I'm not mistaken, they are somewhere between 20 and 30 bucks.
Whoa!
Depending.
For a book?
That
for
is a book. Spendy for a... This is a graphic novel?
Graphic novel.
And they got you on the hook for 8 in a year?
So far.
Wow.
No, not 8. Well, I mean, sorry. No, like the thinner, smaller, single issues, those are not 20, 30 bucks. Those are eight or nine.
They do a
compilation. Yes, sir. So that's what I'm talking about.
So you wait until they...
I wait until the big trades come out because I like sort of motoring through everything in one
second. But like 20, you could smoke for a year for that much. Don't you want to smoke for a year?
I don't smoke, sir.
But you could for 1 year.
I'm not.
Just see what it's like.
Really interesting.
And then get right back into graphic novels.
Well, I'm a vocalist, sir, and smoking makes that more different.
A lot of
more difficult.
A lot of vocal people smoke.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm real sensitive. I was offered coffee earlier and had to turn it down because it messes up my system and my tum-tums.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy. Imagine. Just imagine.
Flimsy constitution. I have, yes, but also Saga is good, and I'm looking forward to it.
It sounds interesting, not in a way that I'm going to go out and buy. Have they talked about making it into a movie or a TV show of any sort?
No, but I mean, they wrote it in a way. Oh, no, it's superb. It is it is my favorite thing that is currently being created right now. That is a regular thing.
What about this podcast that you're on?
That I'm not involved, that I'm not directly involved with.
You're on it right now.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, just this episode.
I love the Unpops Countless Thousands joint co-empire crushing all of our opposition in all
crushing.
Ways. Yeah. But things that I've never met Brian Cave on. I'd love to have a conversation with him. Fiona Staples, she's a genius. And I'd love to get to know the either of them. But as far as things that I don't personally involve myself with, that is my favorite.
Got it.
Cool.
Yeah.
What should we? I mean, we have to talk about politics stuff, I guess.
Uh huh.
What do you want to talk about first, Danger?
Well,
you put a lot of things on the list,
right? I put a few things up on there. 2018. I'm looking forward to more comeuppance for America's and the world's shittier people.
Of course.
2018, look, we had a horrific orange monster taking over our whole country.
Wouldn't it be great if he got comeuppance?
Yeah, because he's done a lot of really horrible shit. But I mean, it's like the Three Stooges thing where he's done so much bad stuff. He's built his brand out of chaos and scandal and doing terrible shit that he sort of inoculated himself against a lot of it.
He gave himself the Trump flu.
Yeah. Well, he's given all of us the Trump flu, sadly. And rich people never seem to get what's coming to them when they do terrible things. You know,
yeah.
Like if you're a gajillionaire or a fake gajillionaire who has been given millions and perhaps billions of dollars by your Russian confederates or whatever's, you generally tend to insulate yourself from a lot of the consequences to the terrible things that you do.
Right.
But in 2017, we saw some really terrible people finally get some measure of what was coming to them.
Yeah. I mean, to some extent.
Yeah.
Like, has anyone been actually
imprisoned?
But none of the politicians.
Yeah.
No.
None of the ones, like,
there's a good chance when this airs that Roy Moore will be a senator.
There's yeah. a ch-
Because
God,
people in Alabama.
Disturbingly large
And it's
chance.
Not fair to the, like. You know,
there's a lot of smart people in Alabama.
Yes,
But there's a lot of decent hearted people in Alabama.
And you gotta say all that stuff. But there's also quite a few people in Alabama that picked up a book that wasn't the Bible, and they were like, oh, there's places that aren't Alabama, and I don't have to live with these trash monster people, and left. So,
yeah.
So there becomes like a drain. Like, I know a lot of good right. people from Alabama. They live here in L.A.
Right.
You know what I mean? They were like, hey, good luck to y'all, but I'm going to bounce, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that immortal Patton Oswalt line of "I'm leaving before I kill all of you and then myself."
Yeah, yeah, it's
the idea of like just the idea of a Democrat is worse than like whatever that guy is. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that like in Alabama is like he's a Democrat, and you're like, yeah, I mean,
but he doesn't fuck kids.
Yeah, yeah,
that's doesn't have a horrifically consistent chain of women saying, this guy is a creep and was a huge creep when I was an adolescent girl.
But, and that part of it worries me just a little bit, because it's great that there are a lot of, you know, really awful people in power who are being taken down for this. But man, it would be cool if there were some people on the right that it was happening to also.
Yeah, the right doesn't seem like their whole Law and Order thing.
I refuse to believe that every conservative leaning filmmaker in the world is also not fucking like it's crazy to me that it just seems to be really high profile, kind of politically leaning people on the left that it's
yeah.
happening
the
to.
The right tends to value its team more than its values.
I mean, they elected a guy that was a monster to the president,
yeah.
and Alabama, it's a micro, especially Alabama, you could see it. Is that they've been indoctrinated that all media is fake media.
Yeah.
Right. But the USA Today, which is like a basic bitch newspaper, if they come out and like, this guy is, you know, allegedly a child molester, and they're like, well, that's a fake. They in their mind, they think the USA Today is a liberal newspaper, right?
Right.
Not the Washington Post. The Washington Post probably does have a liberal bent. But,
yeah.
But the USA Today, like I read... Like, when you ever read that, it's, like, frustrating because they're like, well, this side says this and this side says that. And you're
no,
like, who gives
not,
a shit?
It's but, not about science.
Yeah.
But they always give you both points of views because they're not picking sides at the USA Today. But if, you know, when that – or, like, just the regular nightly news, the nightly news is geared towards old people. But if they're not, like – there's not, like, a over – obviously, there's not some grander conspiracy – or Trump wouldn't have been the president. Or maybe he is the president so they could do all the evil shit. Like, maybe he's the front man.
That's kind of my
that's,
thought.
That is exactly
he's the front man for all their terror. Like, he distracts everybody so much that they, you know, they could pass terrible stuff.
My thought is there's a lot of terrible things the United States is going to have to do to keep its position in the world over the next few years. And that will be a lot easier to sell with someone like Trump in office, because then they can just be like, he's crazy, we can't control him, sorry, I guess we're at war in four different places now. Darn. But if we win all those wars, we'll be in a good spot, America.
We've won a lot of wars in our past, and they haven't all... Like,
have we? When's the last time?
Oh, sorry, you're right. We haven't really won most of the wars that we've engaged in the past, I don't know, 30, 40 years or so.
Have like we haven't. We didn't win Korea. We didn't win Vietnam.
No.
Afghanistan's still happening. Still I guess you could say we won the war in Iraq. But
shot up
we?
A lot of Panamanians in our time.
More yeah. people need to drop acid and realize that war
yeah.
is bullshit.
That's right. The problem is there
I mean,
was one
just...
guy making most of the acid in the world, and he went to jail finally.
No,
I did.
It got harder to find, but I still know how to find it.
Hey. So anyways, I'm looking forward to, in whatever ways possible, and you guys, we have to be real deliberate with some of these things, but yeah, yeah, here comes the collectivism, Big Meek. It's, yeah, come on, it's danger. That's what I do. Really looking forward to some more of the world's high-profile shitheads being ousted and more degrees of a culture of transparency being instituted. Wouldn't it be grand?
What's collectivism?
The many, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one. It's basically Spock. Spock rules. From
and this guy, he's like
Star Trek, Wrath of Khan,
right wing dude, and like
yeah, yeah, it's his deal.
It's just weird that pedophilia has become such a partisan thing,
right? Or not even pedophilia, insane. But like
And I get it.
Believing in reports of,
yeah,
from many, many different people.
And I get, you got, like, out here, like, California is so liberal. Would we vote for a Republican if something terrible came out about the Democratic candidate? Maybe not. But we would probably also replace that person.
And yeah.
We would probably take the L, maybe. Also, if you're in Alabama, they could just write in anything.
Yeah. This podcast is being released after the election.
I know, but just Foghorn Langhorne.
Yeah. It will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see where that is at by the time this goes.
Foghorn Leghorn would be an amazing statesman.
He would.
He's definitely probably racist, right?
But he's always saying super racist. Yeah, he's a chicken. He's a rooster.
He's a rooster. You thought he was a chicken.
That's why he's so full of anger, because people make those mistakes all the time.
Is he full of anger?
He's a proud cock.
He is a cock, yeah. But I distinctly remember one episode with Foghorn Leghorn where he derides his little chick nephew or whatever for reading long-haired books. And then at the end of it, after getting a frying pan or two in the head, he says, "Let me get some of those long-haired books, nephew." And then it's like a circle wipe, and then it goes away, and then it's that's all, folks, and it's great.
Yeah,
he accepts his mistakes occasionally. Foghorn Leghorn does.
Good for him.
Yeah, what a great statesman he'll be.
Yeah,
for Alabama.
Sure, Dave, were you going to say something?
I saw that Robert Mueller is up next. I was wondering if we could try to right now, because it's going to air in January, right?
Right.
If we could try to guess who's going to get arrested next.
I say Jared Kushner.
You going with the Kush?
I think so. I mean, he seems like the most obvious choice. I hope it's something like way out of left field, like Ivanka or something.
Or it could be Mike Pence. I mean, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. I think the vice president can be indicted. There's.
Well, I mean, Spiro Agnew was the first to go in that whole thing, and it wasn't actually directly related to Watergate. Like he went away for unrelated.
He was like some other.
Some other shit. I can't remember. I actually looked this up on Wikipedia like 2 nights ago. So I was like, "What's Spiro up to these days?"
He's dead.
Yeah. How's America's most famous Spiro doing?
What a great name. Spiro Agnew.
It sounds so criminal too.
Yeah. So I mean, hopefully Pence, closes up shop, and then it's off to the DeVos's, and I don't know. You're probably right though. It's probably gonna be Kushner.
Yeah, I mean that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know. Like,
Kushner's such a his dad's in prison. Is his dad in prison or his uncle? His dad's in prison because his uncle flipped on his dad or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah.
Shady.
There might be something of a
but like
of a
even
consistency
if,
there.
And they say like he's went and visited his dad in prison and it's had like a big effect. Like he definitely doesn't want to go to fucking prison.
Yeah.
That's probably true of any of us.
Yeah. I don't know. Is removing this administration from office midstream? Like, is that really what we even want to do? Like, would getting Trump out of office right now be the right thing?
Well, I think.
What's the alternative?
Stays in and loses in 2020.
Well, I think
he may not even run in 2020.
We might not have fucking elections in 2020.
Right. Here's my.
I mean, I'm not that much of a. But I think for the collective consciousness of maybe if you look at the polling numbers. Trump's always approval rating's about 35%.
Yeah.
So for the rest of us, 65%, if he wasn't the president, maybe our collective anxiety as a people would go down.
But yeah, that's kind of my concern, though, is we would still need to be anxious because that it's not Trump. These ideas that are coming from this administration aren't just Trump's ideas. They're the group's
it's Verizon
ideas.
And Microsoft.
Yeah, and they're still like if Pence takes his place, those ideas are just going to come from someone who's better at being a politician.
Yeah, he's going to be a smoother package.
Yeah,
people will probably go to sleep and not pay attention. You know, Trump,
right.
He creates such a racket that people are like, well, I got to pay. I mean, you saw it in Virginia. I mean, it did make people go actually run. People ran and won and all that stuff. You know, there's so many times where like, people in past elections, they didn't even run people in these districts, and people are so fired up. So I think there is still time to fix things. I don't know if it's the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope so. The 2018, the midterms are coming up. That's going to be kind of our first shot to sort of head off what's happening in government right now.
Right. I mean,
going to take a monumental victory by Democrats.
Yeah, or it, who Democrats are their allies.
Yeah, who all definitely seem united enough to.
We can all agree that the biggest
fight,
the biggest problem right now is like the biggest threat to the world and its stability and the environment and our lives and the economy is the American Republican Party.
Yeah, yeah, and it's crazy. It's like it's crazy. Even still, we're not technically the worst place to be. We're just the worst place for the rest of the world. Like, the way we behave and operate as a country is detrimental to the rest of the world. And now it's turning into, like, now it's turning on us, where being here is also detrimental to you. And I don't like that.
No,
I like it better when we were just out wreaking havoc yeah. on everyone else. I don't like when it turns on us.
Yeah, they brought home the divisiveness and division to us, and we got to deal with it.
Right. And I don't know, 2017, I mean, if we're getting into the next docket
here. I guess
here.
I don't understand, like, the people, they just vote, people, like this guy, I'm sure if we pulled it up right now, he would probably, who knows, I don't know this big meek character, but a lot of it is, like, emotion. Like, for me,
yeah.
By the time I feel emotion about politics, there's a lot of bad shit a lot of times I think about it very rationally.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Republican people are all. It's always like anger based. It's like if you listen
or fear based.
Yeah, fear like fear like of loss.
If you listen to like Rush, like I don't understand why you would want to like. For most of the time during my day, I want to enjoy my day. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Now every once in a while, I listen to MSNBC. It doesn't really. The tone doesn't really make me upset. I mean, what they're telling me is like this is fucked up.
Right.
But they're not like. Tonally, but like if you listen to like Rush Limbaugh or any of those people, they're just so angry. And I'm like, why would you want to feel so much anger all the day? You know, it's just not productive as people.
Yeah.
But you know,
but it simplifies your life a lot if you can sort of lean back and go, okay, I know who the threat is.
Right.
You know, like the problems on the left, it's like, look, our boogeymen. It's a whole like network of problems. It is actually a whole ecosystem that we're gonna have to take on multiple parts to actually physically change everything so that we can have the things we need to some degree of security.
But the
right boils it down to like these are the problems. The immigrants are the problems.
No, and, but the left does that to some degree too.
For sure.
There's a lot of straight white males are the problem. It's like, all right, that's painting with a pretty fucking broad
because you ain't gonna stroke. You're not gonna get over the finish line without us,
right? And that's the side that's supposed to be above that kind of shit. Like I saw someone post on Facebook once. They said something about all white males rape blah 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 or something.
Jeez.
And someone jumped in and was like, wow, I mean, that's kind of a crazy thing to say. I, for one, have known a lot of white males and never got raped. And her response was, well, it must be such a privilege to never have been a victim of white male violence. And it's like, if that is your argument to then go, okay, all white males are bad, anyone who's been a victim of terrorism at the hands of a Muslim can also go, well, it must be quite a privilege that you've never been involved in a terror attack, but I have, so all Muslims need to go. And I don't get how there are people on the left who can't make that fucking connection, that you can't talk that way. It's not how you build coalitions. It's not how you...
Yes, yeah, coalition building. That's exactly the thing. The right, their problems are so simple. It's just be afraid of immigrants. You know, the government's going to come and take your guns or, you know, the Antifa is going to come and break your windows and we have to stop them and all. And the left actually, like, lets themselves have the conversation over their values. And a lot of times there's some really extreme points of view getting brought up. And the key to victory, you guys, is that coalition building and understanding it. Like, all right, I'm going to help you with your thing. You're going to help me with my thing.
Do you think that's possible on the left? Because, you, like, we talk a good game. Like, you talk we put our values above whatever, but don't. Like, this is how regimes like this stay in power. Their opposition is just too divided to do anything about it. And that's where we are right now. Like, the left isn't where it's not like we can't stop arguing about the election. We can't stop arguing about fucking Hillary Clinton. And the election's over.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think the people, what was my point? Anyways, it got so heavy there for a minute. But I think, I mean, for me, I'm like over the election. I'm over all that stuff. I mean,
it's, yeah, no, there are, I mean, there are a lot of people who are still trying to say, like, let's learn the lessons of the election.
And I think, you know, they're, you know, already talking about the 2020 people, like, who's going to run for president. And they mentioned, like, these dusty old people. I'm like, you got to go find somebody young and hip and new. You got to find some young cat.
Yeah.
People will be ready for a president that's 40. I'm telling you. If you got a young, vibrant person running against a guy that's going to be 74. And
it should
be
Michelle Obama.
It should be someone who's connected to our present crises.
Which one?
The economic crises, the housing crisis.
Like, connected in what way?
Connected
though?
In the way that, like, somebody like Ro Khanna, I don't think he's run for president, but Congressman
Ro
Khanna,
who's talking about, was president.
Well, I mean, I think you get it. It's not even, look, it's 2018. Right, as of the release of this podcast, and it's still very early to talk about who should run for president.
I mean,
like,
you know,
we need to talk about,
you know, motherfuckers out there right now trying to think, like, am I going to run for president?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I mean, like, okay, dialing in on the issues is so much more important than, like, looking for offices or whatever. Like, look, I ran for city council in 2017, the beginning of 2017, and I did pretty well for a first-timer with no money, and I'm taking that exact... All the people that I met, all the interest that I generated, and I'm putting that into the rent control campaign that Glendale is about to launch in 2018. That's what I'm looking forward to, is a stab at some modicum of economic security for people like myself who are not rich.
Still the Winter Olympics for me.
Yeah, was it the Olympics? Okay. But I mean, like, if we're dialing in on the issue, like, the housing, like, security, we're going to get more done than if we're saying, like, all right, well, you know, Danger Van Gorder, Mike Van Gorder needs to run for city council again in 2019 when that comes back up.
So is this like a referendum that's going to be on the ballot?
It'll be, I mean, we need to spend all of 2018 collecting signatures to get it on the ballot. And then once it's on the, like, if we make it to the ballot in July, then we, you know, campaign for it, for people to know. And to vote for it in November, and then hopefully in November, if it passes, then, you know, then we have some, we institute rent control for the city. And then we look forward to the next campaign where we have to defend it against all the moneyed interests who are inevitably going to launch a counter campaign.
All right, Doug, will you fight? Man, I'm on it. I'm on board. Fight the power.
So, yeah. So, like, there's a lot of first-timers in 2017 getting involved. Like, people like me who never thought that it was possible for them to have... to be a public figure in that kind of way. And in the 2017 general election, we saw so many people win that you would not have expected. Like, we have some new first trans women in Virginia, and I think it was in Minnesota. There's an open socialist who's now a representative, like, basically the state assembly member in Virginia. We've got the first Sikh mayor, I want to say, in New Jersey. There's an Ethiopian being mayor in some place in the north, I can't remember.
Yeah.
People are entering public life in new ways, and those people who have been inspired now by the successes in the general election 2017 are now starting to think about 2018. And, you know, like, look, Trump is a piece of shit. He's done, you know, incalculable damage to this country, but he is inspiring the kind of participation in the opposition that we need. And so, look, I hope Robert Mueller finally boa constrictors that asshole out of office. I hope that he takes Pence with him and Betsy DeVos just disappears forever.
Does it worry you at all that every time a new piece of Russia investigation news comes out, there's also something really dastardly and awful happening that we should probably be paying more attention to?
Yeah.
Like the tax bill.
Oh, my God, that tax bill.
The first time the most recent time Russia stuff came out, it was when we were trying to pass the tax bill. The last time the first when the Michael Flynn thing came down, that same day we were in front of Congress trying to get them to expand our 2001 war authority that we issued to allow us to fight wars in the Middle East kind of without congressional approval, and expand that to Africa.
Well, yeah, I firmly believe the Robert Mueller team doesn't leak anything. I think he's got,
yeah,
he's got like an ironclad. I've read about the people. They're like the top motherfuckers. They're
right,
like a bunch of Elliot Ness. He's got like a bunch of Elliot Ness type people.
Yeah,
and so any of these leaks that come out are from either like Michael Flynn's lawyer or the White House,
right?
Or some Republican congressman or senator from. They have access. So the leak, you're probably right that the leak,
yeah,
but they're leaking the stuff to maybe distract people. Yes.
Yeah.
But it is,
feels that way.
Yeah. Look, there's so much bad stuff going on every single day.
There really is.
That it doesn't really matter when new things come to light, because some horrible thing will also be in the news.
Yeah.
This net neutrality battle we're going through right now in this point in 2017 is insane.
We are not ending this Things to Look Forward To episode strong.
Well, I disagree. Because I'm looking forward to the new blood, the new power, the new forces who are saying,
I feel like
we can have a better life. We can have a better society. We can have a better country. And it takes even the weirdo punk rocker, like whatever, musical guest on a comedy show, like people like that guy might actually have a shot at. Let's hear it.
Do you have like the?
Thank you, thank you.
I thought you were playing like the Hail to the Chief. This guy. As soon as I said a young person should run for president, all of a sudden something activated. I was like, he's got talking points.
I'm a believer,
stuff.
Dave. Wait.
I just thought he can't. You know, I know it's like we talk about unpopular stuff, but you know, makes a couple dick jokes in or something like that.
As I said earlier, I'm not a comedian.
There's only so. I know you're very sincere. I'm not used to it.
We should wrap this up. We have to record another one of these in 15 minutes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So, we would do comments, but we're recording these so far ahead. We have no idea what the comments are on the last episode yet, because we haven't even recorded the last episode yet. What do we got to plug? Dave, wait, you got anything happening in January?
Well, I do have some tour dates in Northern California. You can go to DaveWaitComedy.com to find all those. Also, I'm really pushing my Instagram right now. Go to at Dave Waite Comedy. Even the people that – it'd be awesome if the people that were watching right now on the live stream just added at Dave Waite Comedy right now.
It right now.
I'm putting a lot of content on my Instagram. I think the gram is the next social media thing because it's it's not very political on the gram. It's kind of relief. It's just kind of pictures of boobs and people at water parks and stuff. And sometimes there's boobs at water parks, you know.
Sometimes.
And I do a thing on my Instagram where I answer advice questions. I call it Dear Dave, like a fucked up Dear Abby or something like that. So
nice.
It's just free content sitting out there for you.
Nice.
Go out there and get it, America.
Yeah, the internet's a pretty great place.
Danger, what do you got to plug?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Glendale, California, we're campaigning for rent control. There are a number of other cities, which I cannot mention directly because we don't yet have. Also, Jennifer Friedlander, I will not be old enough to run for president in 2020, but give it a few. But yeah, there will be many, many campaigns for rent control and more housing security in Southern California. And, you know, nationwide, if people want to go check those out, look up your local tenant unions and join up, participate. And also, listen to Countless Thousands. We're really, really good. We got our countlessthousands.bandcamp.com. Spend your money, please. And follow us on the tweets at countless1000s on Twitter.
All right. And come to our live podcast. It's the last Saturday of every month. I don't know. January, whatever the last Saturday in January is.
It's Holiday like the 18th
Hotel.
That year.
Holiday Hotel. It's not the 18th.
It's like the
17th. That would be fucking be bonkers if that was
Saturday.
The last Saturday.
Yep.
And I think that's it. Let's get the fuck out of here. Dave, say goodbye.
Later, dude.
Danger, say goodbye.
We're going to have a wonderful 2018.
You motherfucker. Goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
Yeah. Bring a blood.
object to Bristol Street. Bring a blunt object to Bristol Street.